Hello and welcome to Databook, a podcast presented by Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, Senior Editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. With Databook, we talk to healthcare leaders about technology, innovation, and the transformation of healthcare. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get started in just a moment. In this episode, we talk with Ajay Khanna, the founder and chief executive officer of Teleus. He talks about machine learning and artificial intelligence in healthcare, and he talks about the value of decision intelligence and seeing not only what is changing, but why it's changing. So welcome. Thanks for joining us today. This is a Databook podcast. I'm Ron Southwick, and today I'm talking with Ajay Khanna from Teleus. He's the founder and CEO of Teleus. And so thanks for joining us today.
Ron, great to meet you and great to be on the show this morning here with you.
Excellent. Why don't you talk about your company? Talk about what you do and how you founded this company. What brought you to start your company?
I can maybe give a quick background on myself and then kind of how it led to this journey to Teleus. A bit about myself. Been in the industry for almost 25 years. I did my engineering in telecommunication from India, came to US in 98, just has been obsessed with the potential of data and how you can drive insight from the data. I spent my first few years of my career in telecom industry. You know, telecom, again, they were dealing with a lot of data before even big data became the kind of the hot topic 10 years back or so. So that's kind of where I started my career, working with companies like AT&T, T-Mobile, and see what we could do with the data those companies are generating. That kind of led to actually starting my earlier company, CellSite, which I founded, and I was a CTO and co-founder. And there also the objective we had was how do we uncover the power of data to make the analysis process of this data much more easy and more efficient. We grew the company. We got acquired by a company named Amdocs in 2014. So I was with Amdocs for a year, and then I saw the potential and see how we can take this data and apply it to different industries from healthcare, life sciences, CPG, and that's kind of where we are right now in Teleus.
Yeah. So it seems like you're fascinated, as you said, with data analysis. I'm just wondering how AI can help solve the problem of data analysis in healthcare, for instance.
Yeah, I think we are very, very early stages of this whole aspect of how can leverage machine learning and AI. And I'll talk about this concept of decision intelligence we really talk about. I think there's certainly a gap in the market where if you look at the last 8 to 10 years, we see a lot of business intelligence and dashboarding tools out there making this self-service reporting possible. But when we're looking at right now, those tools are still very limited in terms of the amount of data the organizations are generating and storing the data on the cloud. Doing it manually and just looking at those reports and dashboard is not the most efficient way to get insight from the data. So we see some limitations on the business intelligence side. And then we see the data science tools on the other side where we see a lot of great companies coming up with some machine learning and AI tools. But the challenge we see there is that most of those tools are built for individuals who understand data science, statistics, who have done some master's or PhD. And you need to have those skills to be able to utilize that. So we see these silos are generating or creating this massive insights gap in the market, where if I'm a business user or an analyst, let's say if I'm working in a marketing department and I have to figure out why certain campaign conversion did better than the other, I got to do a lot of manual analysis. And with the amount of data we have today, with terabytes and terabytes of data being generated and hundreds and thousands of columns, you could end up with billions of combinations. You just can't do it manually, and even SQL, Python get shot. So what we thought is that how can we use this concept called decision intelligence to accelerate the process for you to get to those decisions faster? And the way we do that is by combining the ease of natural language, where you can use a very modern interface, pretty much you use in a consumer application where you want to book a flight from, let's say, New York to LA. You go to some search engine, type in your start, where you want to leave, where you want to end up, and then pretty quickly book a flight. Provide a very similar experience for business data, where you can say, show me average revenue by region and product, and you don't have to know SQL. So the modern, easy part of that, but then combine that with the machine learning and AI-driven automation to surface those hidden anomalies and insights, which are almost impossible to find it with the manual approach or so. So by doing that, what we see is that we can enable business teams now with a much more power to ad hoc explore their data and then be able to make some of those business decisions much more faster. And we put this concept around that the organizations need to not only know what's happening in the business, but why. Why is a big focus, like why metrics change, you know, why is certain drug they are trying to sell isn't selling, you know, at the rate you want to sell, and then how they can improve outcomes. So this whole aspect of bringing what, why, how together is kind of where we see the decision intelligence helping different industries and especially healthcare.
Okay. Well, let's say I'm a CEO of a hospital or healthcare organizations. How can decision intelligence help me care for patients better?
So I'll talk about a couple of use cases. So one of the use cases we talk about is the aspect of hospital readmission. So so hospital readmission is a big issue right now. So we see about 4 million patients who get readmitted to hospital within 30 days after leaving the hospital. Now that is actually, if you have a high hospital readmission rate, that's a really a poor reflection of the quality of care. But at the same time, the amount of, the expense for both hospitals as well as for the patients. So I think there is the total, right now in US, I think you spend about $60 billion a year on hospital readmission. So there's a huge focus even put by Center for Medicaid and Medicare. So they are looking at how can we make sure that we can reduce some of those hospital readmissions. So the way, and doing that is not an easy task. We can imagine there is aspects of patients, like, you know, what kind of patient, what's their history, and then also looking at the hospital information and infrastructure in terms of, you know, who was at the duty, you know, who was actually servicing that, like, you know, all the aspects on the hospital care. But then there's also a lot of information you have available in the external data. External data meaning just looking at how hospitals across different parts of US are doing it. So combining all this data when you have a lot of information is almost impossible to do in a manual way. Now, you could go to some data scientists who are generally very hard to find, hard to hire, and then you give that information. Only thing is that there's only so many of them you can hire. So that's where I think you see is that it's very hard to do this analysis with Telius. And this whole concept of decision intelligence we see is that you can, with decision intelligence, you can actually bring all this data together. And what the system will do is allows you to connect to different sources, both internal data as well as external data sources. And then let the staff at hospitals ask those questions and be able to slice and dice all this information in, you know, what patient demographics are actually, you know, higher likelihood of admitting back in the hospital. Was there a certain, symptoms they had when they walked in the hospital? So all these ad hoc exploration, but more importantly, even finding the key drivers, which you can say that, okay, if we have hospitals who came in or the individuals who came in with certain symptoms and we provided this kind of post-discharge care, you know, they tend to come back much more often than the other, then you can go and tweak some of those or look at some of those processes and be able to improve those outcomes. So that's kind of, you know, one of the use cases we see, but there's a lot of other use cases even outside that in general in the healthcare industry around, you know, what are the particular drugs hospitals are prescribing, you know, what's the likelihood of a patient to buy a certain brand of drug to even clinical trials. Now, how do you accelerate clinical trials to even supply chain? So I think there's a lot of use cases of decision intelligence.
I was just really fascinated with the idea of, like, you know, decision intelligence looking at hospital readmissions. So how accurate can this technology look at, say, a patient population, say, patients of, say, this age group are more likely to have a higher risk of readmission? How precise can that technology be?
Yeah, I think we certainly see, and the preciseness of this is actually increasing, and it's all dependent on the amount of data you can bring in. So there's always two parts. There's an aspect of technology, and then of course you need the right data. I think with the ML AI, we had the technology, right? I think now the key case is, can you make it accessible? For our focuses, is how do you make it really accessible to those non-technical experts? But then the third component is a very, very important component is the data, right? So how much data you have on all that stuff. We are certainly seeing where we started some of these initiatives where we did not have that big of an accuracy or an accurate part, but as we have progressed and we have added more external data sources, we are starting to get fairly accurate, getting it to close to 90 to 92% accuracy. And I think that's where we started to see, and there's still scope of improvement on that side. But the key here is, could you take some of these actions where you can start, you know, making some impact, and even few percentage point shift in improving the hospital readmission could be, you know, tens of millions of dollars of impact there.
Absolutely. I would think a lot of this would have some good applications for managing supply chains, which has increasingly been a headache for healthcare organizations over the last couple of years. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think supply chain, of course, in the last few years, for every industry, is trying to figure out how do they get a better handle on the supply chain. So what we see is that in the supply chain aspect also, that decision intelligence can, you know, certainly we look into all those different variables and figure out the aspect on what's driving, certain shipment to be delayed. I think there's a concept of lanes you use in supply chain, where you're looking at different lanes on how, you know, a certain product needs to be shipped from one place to the other, which warehouse is providing much more faster shipping times than the other or so. So we were actually working with some of the customers where, looking through all the data, they were able to identify, like zoom into a certain warehouse and a certain type of even subsegment within that warehouse, which was driving a higher bigger delay in shipping those. And they were able to very quickly go and zoom into and figure out there was some aspect of process they needed to optimize to improve supply chain. So I think this is all about, I call it finding that needle in that haystack. I mean, whatever you find an answer or a solution, you know, typically the next week, next month, you have another problem because you fix one and you have another area to improve or so. So it's just a matter of finding that needle. And I think that's where decision intelligence is accelerating that process and putting that power in the hands of the business analyst and business users.
In healthcare, there's been so much talk about interoperability and the idea of, like, you know, systems exchanging data more freely. It actually seems like there's now, the last couple of years, more momentum for that. Do you see that happening more in the next year or two, that there's this long talked about goal of interoperability may actually be happening?
I think I know everyone has been waiting for it, and I know there is certainly improvement, and of course in the last few years everything has been accelerated, and there's certainly some acceleration on that side. Of course, not enough. Of all of us would, you know, like to see it moving much more faster. I certainly see that with the pressure on rising healthcare costs, right? And then of course a lot of more focus on the quality of care. I certainly see that in the next year or two, we see this area to be picking upstream there. I think we're certainly seeing some early signs of that in terms of improvement in that area. But I certainly hope and certainly see that happening in the next 1 to 2 years timeframe.
Okay. What do you see that needs to happen to enable decision intelligence and AI to be used more in healthcare in the coming years?
I would say it has to start from the, I always say that it is, you know, the technology is there. It is all about the cultural change. I mean, it is all comes down to the culture in the end. Of course, we have the technology, we can make it accessible. So it certainly has to start, and we are seeing it in different organizations right now. We're, you know, working with some healthcare providers there, and we are certainly seeing now where there's a top-down initiative on getting machine learning and AI embedded into the different applications and the workflows we have. I think it has to start with that. I think there's also an aspect of making people at ease in terms of people think that either, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, MLAI could go crazy and you know, what kind of information it can generate. I mean, my answer to that is very typically, you know, very straightforward. At this point, I mean, you're making a decision with gut feeling, right? Looking at these reports and dashboards and mostly just saying that, you know, this is how I've done it in the last, you know, 10 years, and that's how it's supposed to be done. And you have a 50-50 probability. I think even if you get to that you know, even 80-85%, it's actually, you still have a huge ROI on that. But it is all important for everyone to be understand like why we are doing what we're doing, and also this aspect of, and also sometimes think this obsession with accuracy, you know, that it needs to be like 98% accurate or so, but it depends. In some cases it does, I'm not saying that, but I think it's an aspect of the incremental gain you can have with the bringing in some of these aspects there could really make a difference. One of the example I'd share is like we're working with a big life sciences company, and what they saw that they had a brand, like looking at their brand and market share of a particular drug in the, you know, they used to be doing really well and they were number one in that market share. Now after pandemic hit, their market share of certain drug was going down. And what was going on, of course, was that they were still relying on their legacy analysis and the understanding they had that they have to target certain healthcare providers. But what was happening after pandemic was a lot of people initially lost jobs. And what that meant was that instead of the medical insurance coming from their employers, it was now from Medicaid and Medicare. And so all that stuff was happening. And they had a very different rates than an organization would have. Now, what that meant was that all of a sudden, the amount they used to get for those drugs actually really changed. And actually ended up impacting them in their market share. So with decision intelligence, they were able to find that there were certain segments of population and the healthcare where they were the tier two and tier three providers, which they had never focused on, but their competitors started focusing on that. And they were able to bring the market share. And there was also an aspect of a lot of people moving from these big cities and kind of diverse, you know, going into the different parts of the country, which also really changed that shift in terms of where those drugs were being bought, and be able to do that, I think you can certainly now have a better targeting in terms of, you know, where they should look into to improve the market share for the drug they were selling.
Fun crystal ball question. Looking ahead 5 years from now, where do you see healthcare and hospital organizations using AI and decision intelligence?
Actually, forward, you know, 4 to 5 years, I certainly see machine learning and AI embedding into different parts of the healthcare scenario. We were actually talking to a customer last week. HR, actually, we are now working in even HR. I mean, I think HR is, I would say, wasn't the most, like you would think, you know, machine learning being used in the clinical trials and, you know, all the other exciting areas. So we have a big aspect in healthcare, which was very encouraging in its own way, HR side, that they are looking at, you know, retention and, you know, making sure the hospital staff and how do they retain those individuals using machine learning AI. It's a pretty interesting signal and sign that the mindset in terms of how they can use data in different parts of healthcare organization is changing. I mean, it is changing. So I certainly see that in the next 4 to 5 years, we see this embedding in different parts of the application. I think the technology is here. As we move over this hump of kind of cultural barrier, as well as getting some of these interoperability aspects figured out, you know, I certainly see a bright future there.
Talk about the cultural barrier. And you've touched on a little bit, just want to expand a little bit. What needs to happen to kind of to change the culture and to kind of change the thinking in terms of looking at this technology?
Yeah, I think the way the issue which we see in this is that I think that when we start this initiative in machine learning and AI, the way it's being looked at is that, you know, that normally some C-level individual will say, okay, we need this to get this thing going. And we have this, you know, in X months, we need to see an ROI. And then you start working on this, you focus a lot on technology and less on the problem. But then you end up failing this project. By the way, MLAI, there's almost like 70 to 75% MLAI projects are failing. And it's not because of lack of technology. It's not because of that the models are not accurate enough. It is the way it's being approached. The way it's being approached is, it's being approached as like a technology which can fix a lot of issues, and you're trying to look at a very quick ROI and accurate models or so. I think the way we typically guide and advise our customers is, it is certainly a crawl, walk, run strategy. You have to look at, find a problem. I think you have to start with a problem, really problem you're solving, not looking from technology angle, which is happening a lot of places. You look from a technology angle, you spend all the time on building this amazing infrastructure and then figure out problem and it doesn't work. But I think you have to look at from an entirely different angle, is like, what is the problem and use case? Pick one or two use cases, go and build that, even though that may not be the most fancy productionalized version. I think you see some value, and then from there you build on top of it. I think that's one of the approach side. But I think the other piece is, a lot of people don't really fully understand like why they are doing what they are doing. And I think they have some different like misalignment in terms of the objective. So even bringing everyone on board is the key, and aligning on that is going to be the key to make this initiative successful.
Well, going forward, where do you see Taliesin in terms of the healthcare part of your portfolio? Is it going to become a more substantial part of what you do?
Yeah, at this point, we put actually, when we look at Taliesin, we see healthcare for us is actually a combination of both life sciences as well as the other hospitals. For us, actually, right now, it is the biggest vertical we have. We have, I would say, almost, that is still a majority revenue. And then the second one for us is the consumer goods, and then some of the e-commerce customers is kind of the second one. And we continue to see a lot of potential in this. We even when we look at our pipeline and some of the customers we are our potential customers we are working in right now, we see a lot of opportunity in that. I think the common thread being a lot of data. I think the ROI is pretty clear that you could see, we can certainly see the impact, the business impact it can have. So we are certainly excited about the opportunity and potential here for using decision intelligence and machine learning AI.
So maybe to sort of wrap things up, if there's one takeaway you'd like healthcare leaders to have in terms of understanding the potential of this decision intelligence, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe the point I was mentioning earlier was like, yeah, you pick a problem, pick a use case, apply, see the results, and then can I increase or improve from there? I think that's kind of what my takeaway or advice would be.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Very interesting, and it's going to be fascinating to see how decision intelligence gets used by healthcare and life sciences in the coming months and years. So, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciated it.
Thanks, Ron. I enjoyed your discussion. Yes, no, I certainly look forward and really excited about the possibility here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Databook, a podcast presented by Chief Healthcare Executive, a brand of MJH Life Sciences. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For the latest news, analysis, and insights on healthcare, visit our website, chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can follow us on social media on LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm Ron Southwick, Senior Editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Thanks again for joining us. Take care.